This is PHP BB Weekly, episode number 155, recorded live on Saturday, July 10th, 2010, as if it was the end. Hello, welcome to PHP BB Weekly, episode number 155 for Saturday, July 10th, 2010. PHP BB Weekly is the weekly live podcast where we talk all about the PHP BB bulletin board software at phpbb.com, and I am your co-host and technical sound operator blind extraordinaire, Douglas Bell.
And from sunny, warm Washington State, which is not usually warm, but usually sunny, I'm David Lewis.
How warm has it been? Actually, I don't know what the weather's been like here, because I've literally...
You haven't even gone outside.
A little bit. Barely. Pretty much all I've done this week, you know, I'm actually doing, you know, some big WordPress-based websites for some organizations I'm actually going to get paid for the first time. How about that? That's a... nice accomplishment for...
That's a nice milestone.
Wow, yeah. You. I'm getting paid a little bit eventually. But, yeah, I have been doing that pretty much all week. I stayed in my room for a little while, then they did construction in my room, and so I went to the library.
Yeah, well, we didn't get summer until a few days ago, actually.
Oh, really? I thought you said a while ago it was kind of warm there.
Oh, it would get, you know, it would get like to 81 or so, you know. And actually, it was really nice for the longest time. I'm like, wow, you know, this is really awesome. But actually, it's finally a few days ago we've started getting a heat wave, so it's now like 90 degrees.
Oh, that's all.
88, 89 or so.
David,
yeah. Yes, that's all.
If I was still in if I was still in Washington D.C., there was a high of 101 earlier this week.
Yes, I know. There was a reason we moved from Nashville, Tennessee. It was hot there. If you remember. Well, you probably don't. Back in 2007, when we were in Texas, when I was doing the podcast from Texas.
Yeah.
And it was nice in Texas. I mean, it was pretty decent weather. But in Nashville, it was a string of 100-degree days. I mean, they only – in over the course of, I think, 3 weeks, they had 2 days that were under 100 degrees. So I'm really – yes, I'm really enjoying this weather. This is the kind of summer that I like.
I will take your word for it. Not a whole lot of PHP BB news to talk about. However, because we did a little bit of a restructuring of our schedule, this is our last show.
Actually, there is one little bit of news, and congratulations, actually, out to I'm King David for joining the mod team.
Really?
Yes, and he's here in the chat room, too.
So is the whole mod team going to have to bow down to him now?
No. You know,
all hail King David.
Actually, I think, you know, it's actually funny because isn't your name like David King? Is that your full name? And then his name.
David, like oh, that. And they're also saying that T Backoff is the new support team member.
Oh, so yay. She's actually been in support for quite a long time, but she's, I think, declined going to the support team. So it's good to hear that she is.
I always found it ironic, the name, though. It's very, for a support person, you know, back off.
T back off.
Yeah, there's all these little, you know, ironies around here on the teams. I would always tell about how my original .com name, Fountain of Apples, was my first PHPBB-based site, and it was a miserable failure. It's like my most embarrassing moment, and that was my username for years.
So. Yes, I.
And of course Sam says he's a syntax error on the mod team. But I think got that changed, isn't to Sam T or something like that.
I think it used to be Sam T. Now he's syntax error. No. Wait, you're right.
Vice versa.
Yeah.
But interesting.
I think. He'll correct us if we're wrong.
I don't exactly get. I thought, although for PHP, I thought it would be parse errors again, not syntax errors. Well, you'll just have to move on from that. This is our last show before OSCON. Reason is because I've been having so much difficulties getting the shows edited in a timely fashion. I figured, maybe not a good idea to edit a show right before I'm packing lightly to go for an overnight train trip to Portland, Oregon. So, this will be our last show before we do that, but we don't need to exhaust it too much because we did a little bit of an extended preview last week. You talked a lot about all the different, you know, free stuff they're having at OSCON. There was, I would say, since last week, one of the more recent BOF sessions came up, popped up, and it was really, really interesting to me. I'm going to try to get it up. It has something to do with, like, marketing for open source softwares, which is something I think we've mentioned. I've certainly mentioned a lot recently. PHPBB could probably do a little better.
A little. You're generous.
Well, I tried to be. Where is it? Oh, yeah, this is... I lost it.
PHPBB could do to not just have a marketing person, but a marketing team, and they have neither.
Here we go. Doing marketing the open source way. FOSS, free and open source software, code is developed in a radically transparent, participative, and community-based manner, the open source way, which produces spectacular code. But these same FOSS projects are usually marketed traditionally behind closed doors. What if we applied the principles of open source participation to the marketing of open source itself? And that is the tagline for that. It's it talks about what open marketing is, how open marketing teams learn and grow, how it works for one person projects, for large scale projects, what they've done so far, et cetera, how to do things from, developing strategies to market research to press releases, everything in between. That sounds like a very interesting birds of a feather session. That's going to be the Wednesday at 7 p.m., so it doesn't conflict with us in E145, E146. I'll put the link to it. I think I'd like to go to that one. It looks very interesting. And since, I'm kind of, it relates to my stuff, I'm doing public relations, which relates to long connection. Mm-hmm. Websites are part of marketing, but there's a lot more, I think, to active marketing. Website is more of passive marketing, because while a website is great for marketing your stuff, it requires people to actually come to the website to either and the only way people will come to your website is if either they find it in Google, or you actually market your website.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have, so you can't just use passive marketing. You have to combine that with some active marketing.
Absolutely,
and,
yeah.
PHPBB is pretty much exclusively passive marketing.
Yep.
Word of mouth, which is very effective marketing. Word of mouth is, but it's still pretty much passive marketing because, then people have to find it yourself, and then finally, there's an art to marketing it on your site so that people will actually read your site, get your message, rather than get bored with your site and move on. But
it's interesting how many development professionals, because I've gone to a lot of different interviews and stuff, and you mentioned PHPBB, they kind of know what it is, but they not much beyond that for most of them. If you mention WordPress, everybody knows. Yeah, if you mention WordPress, of course, everybody knows what that is. So does WordPress have some sort of marketing team?
WordPress has a whole company behind it, Automattic. Mm-hmm. And now the WordPress, the open source, download it yourself WordPress, is still largely developed by the community, but a few of the developers are actually employees of Automattic, and Automattic is the whole WordPress.com thing. Some of them, they have their more commercial aspects of it. So they actually have a very nice model of being able to take a product that originally was and still is a free open source software, but then be able to, apply that software and implement it in other ways that can allow them to earn some money and be able to, kind of run an organization behind it.
Well, look at, like, Mozilla, talk about a company that has quite a few employees and, full-time staffed, really talented employees, and yet it's a completely open source browser.
With lots of contributors, yeah. It's the exact same idea, so.
Lots of contributors even beyond their team of, I don't remember exactly how many employees they said they had. I'm going to guess like 100, but I know that's not entirely correct, but it's around that number. 100 employees, that's quite a few.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how many it is for Automattic, but
do they actually have a marketing team?
I think so. They definitely have I don't know if it's a marketing team. They definitely will have, like, if you decide you want to organize a WordCamp, they will do their absolute best to send someone or two or three over to your event. They'll send you free swag. You know, not like, you know, Liberty Evasion where you're still going to have to pay for the official t-shirt. They'll send you, you know, the stuff to give out and, you know, spruce it up. So they have something going on. Plus, they've actually done a lot of getting other projects in under their belt as well. They have getting their site loaded. They have about, oh, I don't know how many projects there are here. About 11, actually, commercial-ish type projects, plus a number of open source things. They, of course, have WordPress.com, which is free with commercial aspects. You can, for, you know, upgrades. They acquired a poll / survey doing service, which is, of course, pretty much cost. Two things I've not heard of before, because they must be new. Akismet, which is for their, you know, comment spam, which is very much costs. You know, there are costs to it. You know, if you can get a free access key, but they would prefer, you know, if you're using it for more professional type things, to purchase it. They have even have a video hosting service available. You know, and Gravatar, Intense Debate, After the Deadline, a lot of VIP hosting. They even do, you know, you can, if you're a big corporation, you can get the customizability of the regular WordPress, but they're very reliable hosting that they do for .com. So, you know, they have a lot of, you know, ways of being able to monetize their work, essentially, is what I'm getting to the point of. You know, they still have, you know, there's a whole bunch of open source nonprofit projects that they're doing at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you visit their website, they've written very, very badly written haikus to describe each one of their projects.
I was just looking at the Alexa rankings between WordPress.com and PHPV.com.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, when you actually compare those two pages, you can't even see PHPV.com on the graph.
Well, WordPress.com is their service. WordPress.org is the one that actually has the open source downloadable software, so that's probably a better comparison.
All right, I'll look at that one.
You know.
Okay, yeah. So that WordPress.org, obviously, it's a lot lower than WordPress.com, but it still beats out Drupal.org, Joomla.org, and PHPV.com is on the lowest on the list.
Mm. That's because WordPress.com is the one that hosts the tens of thousands of blogs, so
it gets
a lot of traffic.
Yeah, like Blogspot.
I think it's like number 16, actually, from what I read on Wikipedia. So, you know, there you go. The problem is with PHPBB is it just seems harder, just partly because of the nature of the product. It seems that forums are harder to market. You know, where it's very easy to be able to have a central website for hosting a blog. For some reason, I feel like a forum wants more space than that. You know, we can't exactly have, you know, myforum.phpbb.net if it was a phpbb.net service like WordPress.com. I have a harder time seeing that, you know, actually coming off of the ground. So, I don't know. Unless the PHPBB team started developing that portal. Restarted the PHPV portal project from 2004. That could change something.
Well, I'm hoping that, you know, with the, really the PHPV 4 is going to sort of reinvent the bulletin board, so to speak.
Is this, you think it will, or is this?
I'm hoping it will.
When you wish like upon a star. Actually, yeah. I don't know that song. Sorry, David. Ever since the birthday episode, I just got me singing for everything now.
This is not good.
It is not good. We'll have a fix for that, maybe.
Yes, I shall send you to a psychiatrist.
No, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm bad enough I have to go to an oral surgeon this week. So that's another reason we're not doing our show next week. I'm getting my wisdom teeth pulled 2 days earlier, so I don't know if I'll even be able to talk.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no show next week, in case you didn't get the word. I should hopefully be better in time for OSCON, but might need to bring in a lot of Tylenol or something like that. I'm guessing. I've never had anything like this happen. Yeah, my brother has, but... It's very annoying. But yeah, so OSCON-vasion is happening the actual evening event 12 days from now on July 22nd, but remember that PHPP has a booth in the Expo Hall on the 21st and 22nd, and if you are around and are able to help out, I'm sure that they would love to have some help for, you know, staffing the booth, answering questions about PHPP, stuff like that. And so we also are going to try to figure out, if you can go to the topic, which will be linked in the chat room, in the show notes, on all that wonderful stuff, and offer any thoughts on it, like maybe if we can figure out how to get equipment and stuff there to just be able to do our online thing. Because last year's worked very well, David. It actually turned out we had between, I think, our most ever viewers live was LondonVasion, and second place was last year's OSConvasion. You know, we should be moving our show to Thursday nights than Saturday mornings because it seems to work better. Yeah, I don't think so. That eliminates all of Europe, but so we'll have to see. So hopefully we'll be able to stream this live, and if not, we'll sorry about that. But I would like to be able to manage it if anyone's able to share with some stuff. And hopefully you guys will be there. It should be a lot of fun at OSConvasion this year between the booth and all the other stuff you can do there, and the other free stuff. So I'll probably keep myself busy. So maybe even a little more than last year, so it should be fun. So lest we make that another half-hour-long advertisement, I think we'll move on from that to our topic for today. Now, originally we were going to do this next week, but we moved it to this week. However, remember when I was saying, David, that Tuesday was the end of life for Internet Explorer 6?
Yes.
I was wrong. Tuesday is the end of life for Internet Explorer 6.0 Service Pack 2.
What?
Service Pack 3 is end of life is April 8, 2014.
You are kidding me.
Not kidding you. I have the article from the BBC from 2009 that...
Everybody just screamed in the chat room.
This is big, you know, this is deep research I did this morning in that I found it in the source links on Wikipedia.
Oh my gosh. I think I'm going to break down and cry now.
Yeah, well, I was surprised. I was wondering why I didn't see as many more things.
You couldn't have delivered more devastating news to the chat room.
Oh, well. The good
wow,
news,
that's really bad news.
Yeah. But July 13th was not a complete farce because Service Pack 2, which was released in August of 2004, dies then. Service Pack 3 of Internet Explorer 6 actually came out in April of 2008. So that package is actually only 2 years... old, 2 years and a few months old. And that one was actually, you know, it came out, you know, like 18, the Service Pack 3 came out about 18 months after IE7 first came out, so.
Just so you know, Master Z is going to go jump off a bridge and commit suicide. With that news.
Okay, okay. So we are kind of, you know, we're kind of saying goodbye to an original version of IE6, because the only one that's going to be supported now is going to be one that was released, you know, less than a year before IE8 came out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still going to be supported till 2014, probably because they have, you know, 10 to 20% of people still using it. So,
when did IE6 come out?
August 27th, 2001.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, that's what I thought.
So what we're going to do, we're going to stick with our original plan. We'll just pretend that it's 2014, or that, you know, we were not, that Explorer actually was dying.
We've written these lovely eulogies. We have to.
But let's get started. As soon as I find the Skype settings, we are going to get started with it, with our funeral for IE6 right now.
Thank you.
Dearly departed, we are gathered here today to remember the long life of Internet Explorer 6. We have two eulogies to be read today, and our first remembrance will be read by the esteemed David Lewis. And the chat room loved that, by the way.
Yes, they did. I noticed that. We are here to celebrate the passing of Internet Explorer 6, a faithful friend, the kind of friend that leads you to excessive drinking and lots of cursing. But life was not always that way. 9 years ago, you appeared on the scene. You came packaged with Windows XP. You were a savior. You were newer, faster, and prettier. You allowed us to access the web in ways we never thought possible. You saved us from the cruel world of IE5. It is a solemn passing of a once mega browser whose life has spanned much longer than we could ever imagine. In no time, you began to show your age. You grew old, but held on to the web with both fists.
Amen.
You held us back from running too fast, from creating too many awesome layouts. You were like an illness that just wouldn't go away, causing anguish, pain, and insufferable insomnia for the web designer man. Countless hours, days, and weeks have been spent on making websites work in IE6. There were times where we stayed up all night working on a single layout, a layout that worked in all browsers but you, IE6. You wanted attention, and you knew how to get it.
Amen.
We have a lot to thank you for, IE6. You are the reason Firefox became popular, followed by Google Chrome. You gave us reasons to swallow large pain relief pills. You contributed to countless suicides of web designers. We've given many a eulogy because of you, IE6, but now we give one for you. We bid you adieu, sweet Internet Explorer 6, but with Chrome, Firefox, Safari, and Opera waiting for us on the wings, we won't mourn you for long. Here's to you, IE6.
And now, to remember more of IE6's many few achievements, my turn.
Yeah!
Internet Explorer 6 was a friend to us all. Released on August 27th, 2001, it brought to the world improved support for cascading style sheets, enhancements to DHTML. I bet you don't even remember what DHTML is anymore. But IE6 brought it to us. Content-restricted inline frames, always lovely, and automatic image resizing, among many other special features. To help ignite a success, it was the default browser shipped with Windows XP and became the first to take advantage of its new Luna interface. IE6 earned fame and fortune throughout its long life. During its heyday, it achieved a 90% browser market share, helping all Internet Explorer products combine to achieve 95% of the browser market. Yet, even while accomplishing this feat, it never tried to flaunt its pride by releasing a version for Mac users. Sadly, IE6's runaway success caused it to begin making poor lifestyle choices. It developed a bad habit of leaving its back doors unlocked, causing backdoor infections on users' computers merely by visiting a web page. This became infamously referred to as the download.ject period of its life. IE6 also stopped caring about its user level, as it became willing to steal the identity of its users rather than following the principle of least user access. Regrettably, IE6's father was slow to help IE turn around from these dark periods. As of February 2010, poor little IE6 still had 24 unpatched vulnerabilities. But IE6's fans loved it so much that they didn't care. Even when it was superseded by its younger brothers, IE7 and IE8, IE6 continued to remain on top of the world in terms of browser market share until the very late part of 2009. Despite its lack of support for alpha transparency, lack of full CSS2 support, and frequent ratings as the, quote, worst tech product of all time, it remained steadfast. IE6 is survived by its younger siblings, including IE7, which received a 14 out of 100 on the ACID 3 test, IE8, which received a 20 out of 100 on Acid 3, and its baby brother, the IE9 platform preview, which last, amazingly, received an 83 out of 100 on Acid 3. It is also fondly remembered by modern web browsers' use of Quirks mode, a means for providing backwards compatibility for older pre-standards web pages, which IE6 first invented. And IE6's dry, rotting corpse continues to be used by the blind and faithful 10-20% of the market who still insist on using it, for fear of letting their childhood memories with their dear friend, IE6, pass away. We remember IE6 today for the many things that contributed to the growth of the internet, both good and bad. Mainly bad. Let us observe a moment of silence to remember Internet Explorer 6. We'll miss you, IE6. Almost done. Sorry to make you guys listen to it twice. Like every funeral, free food will be served after the performance. Thank you very much.
And then we'll have our disco dances in the hall.
What? Oh boy. Okay, yeah. Though seriously,
okay,
David,
party now.
I guess it'd be interesting just to analyze a little bit. Let's go back to our, you know, media pundit annoying bout of inappropriately timed analysis. Why did Internet Explorer 6 go from being so popular to, or actually go from, you know, why, all right, let me start over. Why did Microsoft let Internet Explorer 6 just lull for so long? We literally went over five years from IE6 to IE7. And why the long lull? Or do we not know?
It's Microsoft. I don't know. Let's ask Adam. Adam R. is in the chat room. We should bring him on and ask. He would know.
Is he in the Skype?
I don't know. Hey, Adam, if you jump on Skype, we'll bring you
Skype.
In.
Let's invite him.
Okay.
We'll see if he wants to do his own eulogy. I don't know if it's going to go through.
And ringing.
Hey, Adam. There he is. Or not. Can't hear you.
He has his sound settings. That he's using Microsoft Windows, by the way, so you have to forgive him.
Yeah, but it's not. He's not using Internet Explorer to use Skype, so come on.
Yeah, I know. We'll just wait for him to get a set of sound settings there.
I think certainly one of the reasons that we finally have, during the time of IE6, we saw some competition come up, thankfully with Firefox and later Safari and stuff like that. But
hey, Adam.
Well, that was a little impromptu there, wasn't it? Putting me on the spot here.
Why not?
We like to catch you off guard.
We can't seem to get team members to plan to join us anymore, so we're just going to, you know, surprise them for the rest of the show.
Yeah.
Phil Crum, you're next.
Jeez, and now I'm wishing I hadn't waken up so early this morning.
Well, thanks for doing.
Wait, aren't you on Eastern time?
I am.
Is it's Saturday. Like 1 p.m.?
Or almost 2
almost
p.m.
2? Yes, you have to forgive Adam. That's early for him.
Okay. Yeah, I just got... Okay.
So, well, why the big lull between 96 and 97?
Oh, there's no excuse for it. really. That, at least in my opinion, Microsoft did fall back into really an anti-competitive mind frame that they didn't have any competition until Firefox came along. And they had absolutely no reason to move to another, upgrade their browser. Mm-hmm. And basically what happened after that, when they went to IE7, IE8, they started running into problems. Very large problems when they had to support so much legacy as a result of all the stuff they put in IE6. You know, corporations using IE6, only IE6, not compatible with IE7. So they ran into a problem where they couldn't just go from, you know, non-standards compliance to full standards compliance overnight. It just simply wasn't going to happen.
And that's why they had to use the compatibility mode.
Exactly. And that's why we had, you know, IE7, IE8, and now IE9, which looks like it's going to be, you know, actually fairly standard, you know, fairly good so far. And we'll see how...
Are they going to have compatibility mode in IE9?
There will be compatibility mode, but it'll be shut off by default. You have to... you would have to manually enable it in the source code of the website. So,
wow.
Just like you have to enable, you know, emulate IE7 mode in on websites. So, by default, it'll be full standards compliance.
That's good.
Or at least so far, it's pretty close. They haven't CSS 2.1 is more or less fully supported. CSS 3, I think they're about 80% done there. HTML5, they're still working on like audio and video.
Everybody else.
So, but yeah, everybody else is working on that. But for a pre-beta browser, it's looking pretty decent at this point.
Is it going to get to 100 on the Acid 3? Because like we said during the funeral, it's right now at 83. A far cry from IE8 is 20, but nowhere near its competitors yet.
If one thing to note about Acid 3 is that it really isn't a standards test so much. You can pass Acid 3 and still fail standards, still fail on standards.
Because it doesn't check all standards, certainly.
Correct. Yeah. All it does is it detects and checks for outliers, really rarely used standards, in hopes of getting more web developers and browser developers to support some of these outliers that really not many people are using.
But the reason not many people are using them is because not many are supported, right?
Exactly, correct. So it really is a push on both fronts in order to get, you know, complete standards compliance. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I think they'll get there. They're in between Platform Preview 2 and Platform Preview 3. They went from, you know, 62 out of 100 to 83 out of 100, which is, you know, a significant jump.
Yeah.
Platform Preview 4, as soon as that comes out, will probably be a lot closer. But from the looks of, especially starting with when Microsoft basically redid their IE team from scratch when IE8 came out, they really got people into that department that do care about standards and do care about, you know, what the community thinks about the browser. So it's looking good so far. You know, obviously it's Microsoft, so things can change instantly. We'll have to see what happens when we get to beta and when we get to, you know, release candidates and stuff. But from the initial offerings, it does look very good.
So IE6,
and they're going to have a lot of CSS3 support too in IE9.
There we go.
Yes, CSS3, like I said, is about 80% there, if not all the way there, in terms of what is currently written in the standard. Now, obviously, CSS3 hasn't been finalized yet, but it's close.
And even though browsers like Firefox and WebKit, the WebKit browsers support CSS3, they do it in their own unique sort of way. You know, they have their browser-specific attributes, like the Moz tags and the WebKit tags. But IE9 actually supports the actual CSS3 attributes, CSS attributes.
Right. So one thing that Microsoft is actually doing, which I'm actually very impressed with, is that they've been submitting, you know, hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of test cases to the W3C. Basically submitting these cases and saying, here's our interpretation of the standards, because they're standards which really aren't very well documented at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying, here's our interpretation of these standards. Is this the correct behavior? If so, you know, let's document it and let's get every other browser operating exactly the same way. If not, we'll tweak it and we'll resubmit it. So
do you think Microsoft, that IE9, Microsoft is finally really taking seriously for the first time?
I think they've been taking it seriously since IE8, the reason being is since they had this problem with IE6, they couldn't just transition overnight from non-standards compliance to standards compliance, because you would have, you know, millions of websites broken instantly as a result of that. And millions of paying clients, you know, from a business perspective, they just simply can't, you know, alienate their customer base like that.
Mm-hmm.
So they really backed themselves into a wall by not updating IE6 sooner. So when IE8 came out, you know, they had, you know, more or less full CSS 2.1 support. There are a couple of quirks there, but for the most part, it behaves very well. And now I think they're finally getting to the point where they're saying, okay, enough is enough. XP support's going to be ending soon. IE6 is below, you know, X amount of market share. We really need to push for full standards compliance to really make it a very competitive browser.
Mm-hmm.
How long do you think? Actually, let me put it this way: as we mentioned before, the funeral started. Apparently, you know, IE6's final EOL date is April of 2014. Do you think it's likely that the current IE6 market share will disappear about that time or sooner, or will it even be persisting long after that in terms of being a significant concern for web developers?
Well, extended support for XP ends on August 4th of 2014. So if there's any corporate, you know, clients out there that want support from Microsoft, which most of them do, unless they have their own in-house technicians.
And many do also.
And many do, but at the same time, if they run into a problem they can't fix, they, you know, they contract it out to Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
But if they want support, they're going to be in trouble. And they're basically going to find themselves in a position where sooner or later, if they don't upgrade to most likely Windows, either Windows 7 or Windows 8, whenever it comes out. If they don't upgrade, they're basically going to have to, because they ran into a problem they can't fix, and now they're going to have to upgrade in order to fix it. So hopefully by that time, we'll get there. IE6 is probably not going to go away entirely for, I mean, just like IE5 hasn't even gone away. I get a couple hits of that a month. I don't know why, but yeah, I mean, you're going to see it
the
for the next
Netscape 4, right?
yeah, I mean, you're going to see it for the next decade. But let's say when it drops below 1% market share or 0.5% market share, I'd say probably sometime around 2013, 2014. That's when we'll start to see it go entirely.
It's weird. Like, I'm doing that research this morning. It actually is true that until fall of last year, IE6 alone had the largest percentage market share, even beating out all other versions of IE and any other browser, of course, as well. So that,
right.
I mean, that seems to have changed now, but that's scary. It's 8 years after the original release, and it's mind-boggling.
And when the original incarnation of Windows XP came out, it didn't automatically update. The default setting was not automatically updated. It would notify you of updates, but you had to install them manually.
Mm-hmm.
With Vista and 7, that's fixed. So you have to manually shut it off in order to stop updates.
That's probably
so,
good, Do you think, what about these efforts? There's certainly probably the IE6 No More and other different websites that have been popping up to try to encourage people to stop using IE6 and encourage web developers to stop supporting IE6. Do you think that that has any merit, or is it kind of foolhardiness to not support IE6 at this point?
I don't even support IE7 on my websites. Mm. I push it that far. There's no reason why. I mean, at least based on what I'm seeing, when I was doing web development for clients, I would charge 25% extra to support IE6. Mm. And I would say the minimum supported is IE7. And I would even, for some clients, I would actually say, you know what, if you really want, you know, a very good website or a Web 2.0 website or whatever, we only need to support IE8. And I would basically reduce my cost as a result of that, because obviously it's going to take me less time. Right. So, you know.
So what do you do when, you know, for the IE6 and IE7 users that obviously are inevitably going to visit that site, what do you do for them?
Well, I do use the IE6 No More on a couple of my websites. I changed it so that it only shows up with IE7 and below instead of IE6 and below. The website still works. It still functions in IE6. It still functions in IE7, but it doesn't look anywhere near as nice. And I honestly don't care if it looks nice. I mean, you can get the general gist of what's on the website. It's just going to be, you know, broken and not looking as good. So
what's the code on the IE6 No More do?
Basically, it's I forget where it was. I believe it was in Service Pack 3 or Service Pack 2 of Internet Explorer that they implemented custom comment tags in IE6 and IE7 and IE8, basically all Internet Explorer versions. Then if you basically put, you know, a custom comment tag, it doesn't fail, you know, standards compliance, since it actually falls within a actual HTML comment. It's just that Internet Explorer recognizes it, and it'll only display that if it's that particular version of IE.
So you're saying that Microsoft added a feature to Internet Explorer that allows people to diss Internet Explorer?
Basically. That's one of the uses, but the main reason they implemented it was, you know, okay, if you need to have some legacy code running on this website, here's a way to do it without breaking standards compliance. So it'll only show up in this particular browser.
Mm-hmm.
Or it'll only be rendered in this particular browser.
And it actually shows links to, you know, Firefox, Internet Explorer, Safari, Google Chrome. They need to update it, though, because, you know, Safari's at version 5 now. It's the things as Safari 4.
Right.
But, oh well.
So.
We need to do that, so. Well, we let's just say that with the ending of Service Pack 2, because, I mean, like I said, this does mean that the only versions of Internet Explorer 6 that are supported are those that were released a year and a half after IE7 came out.
And do those versions of Internet Explorer 6 actually change any of the rendering model?
What did Wikipedia say?
I don't think it does, but I'm...
He doesn't say what was significant in...
I don't think it actually changed... Trident.
It was the version that was included with Service Pack 3 of Windows XP.
Basically the biggest changes that are going to be there are going to be, like, patched... security holes, right? They're not going to actually... Right. It's not actually fixing any of the rendering issues that have been prevalent in IE6.
Correct. They haven't touched Trident on IE6 for a number of years now. Mm-hmm. So, and honestly, there's no reason to do so, because, one, you either need to get those rendering changes from an update, which is the reason why we got into this position in the first place, because people aren't updating. So that's pointless. And secondly, if you are going to update, you might as well go to IE7 or IE8. So there's really no reason from a, you know, time allocation standpoint to actually invest time and money into IE6 when Microsoft at this point doesn't care about it anymore and they're just doing the cleanup. So
I've even, you know, it's kind of interesting, the all the recent websites, obviously, that we've been doing are they no longer support IE6, you know, but we have minimum, you know, it's IE7, and while that's a lot easier, it's still a pretty big pain. Not near as bad as IE6 was, but it's still, there's a lot of things in it that are still a pain to work with.
Yeah, IE7, IE7 in some ways is actually worse than IE6. It does some really weird stuff with CSS2. It's sort of
instead of being better or it's like it's just different problems.
Correct. Yeah.
Instead of having like better problems or worse problems, it's just different problems, but not really better.
Yeah, IE8 more or less resolves the CSS 2.1 issues. There's still a couple of quirks in there, but IE9 is it's smack on at this point in comparison to. And I've even found some things in IE9 that the Gecko engine on Firefox does not render correctly at all. But you know, Chrome, Safari, Opera, and IE9 do render it correctly. So,
okay. All right, I think we're going to move on to. We do have a few more things that we're going to be getting to, and actually, David's poking me that we might need to close some stuff up. Oh, 5 minutes, David. Do you really have to go in 5 minutes?
Yeah.
can you make it 10?
It's best if I don't. I actually have to go take something. Somebody just came up and said, hey, you need to go take something up to the bluff. So I'm like, oh, okay.
Let's try to ram through this a little bit then. So, all right, let's just quickly do our mod style of the week, and then we need to make one extra announcement before we close the show out. So our mod of the week, I literally found these while you guys were talking. It is called...
Oh, no. Do mine.
Okay, I'll save mine for next week. It is, David, you describe it. You found it.
Okay. All right, this mod is called IE6 No More. And this displays an IE6 No More banner on your forum's index page to encourage users of Internet Explorer 6 to upgrade to a modern browser for a better experience at your website. And so in the header of the PHBBB forum, it says, you are using an outdated browser for a better experience using the site, please upgrade to a modern web browser. And it lists Firefox, Internet Explorer 8, Safari 4, Google Chrome, and Opera. So it lists five different choices. And
is this the same as what is on the one we saw? Yeah, it is. It has a few more choices, though.
This is the author is VSE, and was last updated February of this year. So that is the mod of the week. They say it. Let's see. It displays on the board's index page. Each browser icon is a direct link to a download of the latest version, Pro Silver and Sub Silver 2 themes, and it has multilingual support for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 languages, and very simple installation and auto mod compatible.
Okay, sounds good. I don't have a style of the week, so
I do have a style of the week.
Okay,
that's Spring Element. Hopefully we haven't done this. I don't think we have.
I don't think so. Different. I haven't heard of it.
So this is Spring Element by freeforms.org. And this is a ProSilver-based style. It uses grays and green. But the interesting thing about this style is it actually makes it look like... what is that material? It looks like...
I'm loading it.
It's
parchment.
It's, yeah, okay. Well, sort of, yeah.
Rough stuff, whatever.
Yeah, rough stuff. Like a countertop.
Sure.
Sort of. Or green, a Tolex.
Green rough Tolex stuff.
Tolex might be accurate.
Sure.
So, and this is like I said, it's a light style. It's a green style. It's kind of nice. So that's Spring Element by freeforms.org.
Master Z in the chat room says it's sandstone.
Sandstone, okay.
It's actually, and I Make Style says it's actually a cyber alien style. Apparently freeforms.org are sponsoring style authors, so that's not a nice idea. I have to find some more.
Huh, I didn't know. It doesn't seem like a cyber alien style. But Christian would know. That's Christian that said that on Make Style.
It's much more, he does a little more customization to the Pro Silver layout. So take a look at that. We'll see. All right, Monster of the Week. We have one. Actually, he said it's also even on Colorize. So there you go. All right, we've got one other thing we would like to make an announcement for before we close out the show. And this is unfortunately not a very happy announcement to make. But it's something that we've been individually thinking of about for a while and discussed over email the last day or two. And that is that regrettably, at the end, oh dear, at the end of, as of the end of August, David and I are planning to end our production of PHP BB Weekly. This is something we've, and I know we have kind of different rationales for this, and I think, I mean, maybe David, maybe you can say why you were going to, what you were saying.
Just being extremely busy, summer, lots of different projects to work on. I just haven't had the time to work on PHPBB stuff or even follow its development as closely as I used to, and just haven't felt the connection with the PHPBB community and the teams. So I feel like my time is a little bit better spent on some other projects. But, well, go ahead and give your reason.
Mine's different. And, I mean, mine is much more related to the time issue. I mean, granted, I've not been super connected to the project beyond doing this podcast for ever since I started the podcast. I left the teams 4 years ago, a little under that, and pretty much after that stopped doing mod development because I got busy. I wanted to focus more on real life and school things as well, but I was able to pick up this podcast as a way to kind of stick around. The hard part is that I'm now looking at my school year starts in about 5 weeks, and it's going to be a very filled time. I'm doing a lot more of these days with we talk so much. Pretty much the show has almost turned into you do jQuery weekly and I do WordPress weekly in a way, because what we've been working more with, and I've also been doing more work with the WordPress area, and I'm actually getting paid to do websites and things like that. Just personally, it comes down to a matter of I'm much less comfortable doing PHP stuff myself. I really rely a lot more on someone more knowledgeable like you, David, to be able to fill that in, and I also just, it really comes down to, I really do not see myself having time to dedicate to the show. I've been having a lot of difficulties getting the show edited recently. There is no financial benefit from doing the show. I actually lose money doing the show, and so that is actually pretty much the reason why I'm going to say that I think that I really enjoy being able to do it. Continue with the show, but I just need to be able to. I'm focusing on other things now, and I need to be able to. It's only 24 hours in the day. We do want to say that if there is anyone interested in keeping the show going,
and I think there is a lot of people who have a lot of interest and are really following PHPBB and are really involved in it right now a lot more than we are.
Yeah,
and I would definitely like to see those people. Want to take over the podcast, even if some team members or something wanted to do it or something like that. But further.
And I think it'd be great if we can keep the show going, because we've seen from other attempts to establish a PHPBB podcast, it is kind of difficult to do. And we've actually been able, we've really established ourselves now, or established PHPBB Weekly as a real function of within the PHPBB community. The website is already there. The infrastructure is already there. If anyone wants to take it over, I'll even share my files that I use to edit the show with. So it's not, a lot of the work has been done. We just need someone to be able to spend the time doing the editing and be willing to, make fools of themselves talking every single week.
It's been an absolutely fabulous show. I mean, we've been doing it for, I started doing it back in, 2007, right?
You for 3 years and me 3.5 years.
It actually went a lot further than either of us thought it would go in.
I think a lot of people were thinking, expecting us to make this announcement years ago, my other podcast, which really didn't relate to anything, lasted for 52 shows, and we are already at 155. And we still have another month and a half to go. And this is one of the reasons we're announcing this now, is because if someone does want to take over the show, and if you do, please send me a private message, because I have all the information and stuff. We can figure out.
You know, we have a pretty good system, and you know, we can even start working you in, and I think it would be great for the entire community to have some mm-hmm. newer people take over.
So our schedule for the next 2 months, and we're doing this because A, I'd like to finish up my summer. And B, we have some big things coming up, and I think it'd be great, you know, for us to be able
notably
to
BossCon and Liberty Invasion.
Yeah, we're gonna try to end on a very high note. So, but we're also going to take off a couple of times just to space it out a little bit. So we have no show next week. We're gonna be doing our BossCon Invasion. Hopefully, assuming we get the equipment, we'll have our live stream from BossCon Invasion. That's Thursday, July 22nd. 7 p.m. Pacific time, 10 p.m. Eastern time, or 2 a.m. Friday morning UTC time. So you can join us for that. There will also be no show on Saturday, July 24th, because I'm still on the train coming home. So the next two Saturdays are going to be empty. We will have our next live Saturday episode on Saturday, July 31st, and that'll be at 1 p.m. Eastern time, normal time. We'll also have a live show on August 7th. No live show on August 14th, because it's right before I'm flying. Again, I'd like to avoid having to edit that week. And also August 21st, I don't know if we're going to be able to do anything live from Liberty Invasion. Somehow I doubt it, but I need to get in better touch with the teams to figure that out. And then finally, our final show with David and I as co-hosts is going to be Saturday, August 28th. We're going to try to plan, see if we can get something special for that. I'm trying to convince David to see if he can find time to do another SCOF report to close us out, even if it's just audio only. David, do you think it's doable? Surely you can find some time.
Oh, yeah. I think another SCOF report is probably due. So.
Even if we do it live, that'd be fine.
Yeah, freeing up a few Saturdays is a great way to make sure I have time to do that, too. Yeah.
So, but definitely set your calendar for Saturday, August 28th, because that'll be... We'll be doing our last live show with David and I on the call. And then at that point, we'll either close out the show, or if people want to take it on, we'll keep it going and, you know, start the transition process. So, but certainly we have a few more weeks left, about eight shows or so left to come out. So we're not going away anytime soon, but... we are going to start, you know, looking ahead towards closing the season out. So we will save some
and
hope,
yeah, and of course, if we do transition, then for the rest of you, that we aren't actually closing out. Just Douglas and I would be mm-hmm. phasing out.
a change of eras.
Yes.
So we kind of have two end of lives that we're announcing today. IE6, which is in 2014, blah, and sadly ours, which is a lot sooner.
A lot sooner.
But I don't know about. I know I'll certainly try to keep, you know, tabs on with the PHBB community, and hopefully maybe if times change, you can be able to stick around a bit, but mm-hmm. focus going forward. So I know David's in a hurry, so let us close out this show. We'll save, you know, the long teary stuff for our final episode in late August. So let's just keep going. Like I said, our website is phbbweekly.net. You can find the show notes. We have a few links of stuff that we did for this show today, and actually I will probably, you know, post the transcripts of our prepared eulogies for IE6. Why not get them up there for the archives? So
sure.
Check that out on our website. You can publish them, send them to your local newspaper as part of an IE6 No More local campaign or something, whatever you want. Our forum at StarTrekGuy.com. We are on Twitter, PHPBBWeekly. And like I said, we'll be live from BossCon Invasion, hopefully, July 22nd, 10 p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time, 2 a.m. UTC time. If you're coming, please let us know. You can also find details at bossconvasion.bbvasion.com, which will only be the only site that ever comes up on BBvasion. My announcement of ending my relationship with PHBB Weekly also counts for BBvasion. That's not going to happen, so sorry about that. And... our next live episode is a live episode on Saturday. Will be at the end of the month, July 31st, 1 p.m. Eastern time. You can find details on our website.
BossCon recap episode.
The BossCon recap, and we're also going to celebrate Sysadmin Day, which is the day before.
Oh.
The last Friday in July, Sysadmin Day. You know, for all you system administrators out there, of which I have now joined. My title for my student government now is IT director. That's what I'm getting paid to do their website for. So. They call me an AT director, so yay. Okay, David is in a hurry, and I kept him here much longer than he should be here. So,
yes.
Without any further ado, a successful community begins with you, Tag. You're it. Thanks for listening. See you next week. Bye,
everyone. Get awesome. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.